Hey guys, welcome back. Our first guest is filmmaker John Fallon, whose new psychological thriller, The Shelter, opens in theaters and video on demand November 4th. John.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. I can't complain.
Travis.
Yes, sir.
John Fallon.
John Fallon, pleasure to have you here. It looks like you're making the rounds with The Shelter. It looks like it's been a long time coming, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I call it my full-time job that doesn't pay, but I love every second of it. This is the fun part.
Is it the fun part?
Well, production, you know, writing it was fun. Pre-production was fun. Production was fun. Post-production was a complete... Am I allowed to swear on this show?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, post-production was a complete fucking nightmare just because of just weird fucking mishaps that kept happening.
Do you just, you keep tinkering, right? It never feels done?
Well, it's never done. It's not done in my book, and I've learned that the hard way. It's a bit like a script, you know? I think there's an old saying or something, any piece of art is never finished, it's abandoned. So that is true.
Fine, I guess it's done.
Yeah, it's fucking done, you know? But in terms of The Shelter, no, it was more just technical mishaps and just really weird weird shit that kept happening, man. So that's the easiest way I could put it. Just weird shit and shit that's out of the ordinary that kept befalling us, and corrupted footage, the post-production screen freezing with 666 appearing everywhere for out of fucking nowhere, and just weird shit.
That's not good. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was not amazing to live, my friend.
I can't imagine. Do you feel like you brought that upon yourself by putting out a movie with the sort of content that's in there?
Yes, I did, to be honest. I'm a very skeptical person.
Sure.
At a certain point, you have to start thinking, all right, what's going on here, man? You know, what's really going on?
And John,
it's not all serendipitous. Just listen to Mike's story about how he's gotten free beverages three times this week from three different fast food restaurants.
I've gotten four free beverages this week, John.
People keep giving
me free beverages. I order one drink, they give me two drinks.
It must be your cologne.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. What are you wearing?
I guess it's just my alpha male scent.
Yeah, maybe that's it, yeah.
I would say that this movie that you made is a thinking man's movie.
Yes, sir.
It's open to interpretation. My interpretation that it was a cautionary philandering tale.
You could see it that way. I'm going to actually paraphrase David Lynch here because I was kind of inspired by him. He said about a film that I worship called Lost Highway. He said, "I know what it means to me. But, you know, it could mean whatever it means to you." So and to some degree in The Shelter, that was my approach. You know, being it's a low-budget film, I could take chances. I could do things outside the mold. With that said, I have a clear vision of what it's about. And actually on the commentary on the DVD, I kind of give little hints here and there and just kind of like connecting dots for people if they give a shit.
But have people come to you and given you interpretations and you kind of look at them and say, "No, man, you're wrong"?
No. I mean, I think, "No, man, that's not what I mean." But I don't say, "No, man, you're wrong." I've had people that actually got it. So that was surprising. When I was at the Fright Fest Film Festival, after the screening, I had this one chick that came up to me in tears. Like, you know, that's the only person, you know, I was in tears when in post-production, but she was in tears because she saw the movie. And she hugged me. She's like, "Thank you so much, you know, because of you, you know, I'm rethinking my faith." And for me, I was like, "Whoa, that's pretty fucking cool. So I'll take it, you know." So I think that your spiritual upbringing will somewhat define what you get out of it, you know, as much as like I have a friend who's an atheist and he saw it. And, you know, everything that's religious went completely over his head, but yeah, it's fucking good. So, guy, he's fucked up the house. Like, you know, hey, man, if that's what you get out of it and you enjoy it, all I care about is if you enjoy it. You know, so if you enjoy it, it's good with me. Yeah.
So, John, you have a lot of credits under your cap. You, the actor, crewman. You've written a handful of other scripts, correct?
Yes, sir.
What was it about this one that made it?
What's happening to Travis?
Yeah, you guys are breaking up on me, man.
What's happening to Travis? Travis, are you okay?
He's watching The Shelter. That's the problem.
He went all robot. We just did the first half of the show, and he sounded fine. Then he goes to ask a question, and he goes to shit.
Of course.
There he is.
There you go, Travis. You're better now.
Okay, here. So I'm going to try this again, but I'll condense it. With the previous scripts that you wrote and everything, what made this the one that you wanted to direct for your first time?
All, you know, some of the scripts I've written, you know, commissioned, you know, so where it's other people's ideas, and I wrote them for them.
Sure.
Other scripts I thought I would direct, but, you know, it didn't happen. With The Shelter, it's so personal and it's so weird that there's no fucking way I could have seen anybody directed by myself. You know, and if somebody, you know, director would read that shit and you'd be like, yeah, no, fuck you, I'm out. So, and you know what? I was very passionate about it. And, you know, it's really a film I wanted to make, a story I wanted to tell. So I'm happy I got to do it.
I saw another interview with you where you said that you almost had to star in the movie because Michael Perez almost couldn't make it.
Yeah, no, that was Louisiana had actually on one night that we shot, it was the coldest night in like 33 years that they had in Louisiana. So that was a lot of fun. But right before Mike flew down, there was snowstorms. It was a complete fucking nightmare to get him to Louisiana. And I had a bit of a stubble at the time. So I'm like, you know what? Worst case scenario, I'll play the fucking lead and direct. You know? Worst case scenario. But thank God we finally got Mike down. He showed up, rushed the set, blew us all away, and that was that on that.
Let me ask you a question about Mike. Yeah. Is he cool with asking Eddie and the Cruisers questions?
Yeah, he is, actually. I think he is.
I'm curious, because a big fan of him going back to Eddie and the Cruisers and Streets of Fire. It was great to see him in this movie. I thought he did a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, you know, like, really, I personally cannot think of any other actor that could have played that part as well.
So being a film critic yourself, do you kind of get nervous putting yourself out there and directing a movie that, you know, some people might seek revenge on you?
No, I mean, if that's what...
I guess if people say bad shit, who really cares?
No, dude, you know, I mean... I've been going through that whole spiel, you know, every movie I've written, you know, some people will review them and, you know, and I could see it's personal. It has nothing to do with the movie. They just hate my guts, you know, and I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that, you know, I reviewed a movie badly in the past or anything like that. I just think it has something to do with the fact, I think envy, you know, a friend of mine had told me this and it stuck with me. He said, you know, everybody wants to be higher up. So, you know, usually the DP wants to be the director and the producer wants to be the DP. And, you know, a lot of film critics are bitter towards filmmakers. So imagine how some film critics will be bitter towards a quote-unquote film critic who actually directs a film. So he's like, brace yourself, dude. And I'm like, you know, whatever, man. I've had it all tossed at me already, so I really don't care.
And here's the penultimate question. You have to get asked this every time you do an interview. I need to know, what was the meaning behind the half-eaten apple and the blue raspberry sucker on the nightstand when he's having sex in the beginning of the movie?
Actually, that was 20 minutes in. That was the flashback when he's having sex with that redhead there.
But, I could not get the imagery of the blue raspberry sucker and the half-eaten apple on the nightstand out of my head.
That's what Travis took from the movie. That's what it meant to him.
It was going to be the poster, to be honest. Half-eaten apple and that little sucker thing right there, you know, but marketing people said no dice. But, I mean, you know, a chick sucking a sucker is hot. And the half-eaten apple is obviously a reference to Adam and Eve.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, so it did have meaning. See, it's one of them thinking man's movies, Travis. I told you.
Actually totally an on-the-fly idea, really. Somebody was eating an apple. I'm like, hey, give me that. Let me put it on a fucking table. You know, just a little reference. Why not?
Did Travis die again? This is going great, guys.
You want to sing a song?
Or? Yeah. Sing a song for us, John.
Somewhere over the rainbow, apples are bitten. Suckers rest on tables until Travis returns.
What'd you think of the PK Subban trade there, John?
shit. I was actually happy about it, to be honest.
You don't like the P.K. Subban?
Oh, I love P.K. Subban. I think he's a fantastic player. But, you know, our team was at the bottom of the barrel with him last year. So it's not like he's saving our asses.
Shake something up.
And, you know, obviously he's not getting along with management, and he's not getting along with some of the locker rooms. So he's it doesn't take anything away from him as a player. He's a fantastic player. I think he just wasn't with the wrong group. So that's what I got out of it.
So it's going to be on video on demand November 4th. What locations can you get that? You get that on the iTunes and the Amazons and
the usual suspects on demand. Amazon, they don't tell me anything.
And it's playing in select theaters in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, it's going to play for a week in L.A., I know, and I'm pretty sure it's going to play for a week in Toronto in Canada. But don't quote me on it. It's, I'm learning as everybody is learning. That's just how it is.
So you go out there, you check out John Fallon's directorial debut, The Shelter.
Yes, please. And
November 4th.
And where can they follow you on Twitter? How is it? Just John Fallon, like Mike said it was earlier?
You know what? It's because of that guy that I had to call myself John H. Fallon, because that John Fallon guy had taken the handle. So, it's John H. Fallon. And I'm also on Facebook, and I don't know what my thing is, but let me check. Did you guys see the movie, by the way?
We did.
What'd you think?
Well, me and Travis saw it. Napier and Drunk,
they don't watch anything.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook / Fallon and Johnny. Well, that's eloquent. And, that's pretty much it.
Well, thanks, John. We appreciate you doing the show. We enjoyed your movie. We'll try doing it again next time.
Definitely, guys. Have yourself a great night.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.